Hi, this is Sid. This track is from my CD, The Dead Sea Scrolls, Pieces from an Ancient Puzzle. The CD's five stories trace the scrolls and their origins, including their chance discovery and how the fragments were pieced together.
Dear Father, I'm sorry for leaving without a word and not writing for several days. I know I worried you and Mother, Aaron, and little Rachel. But if I told you where I was going, you would have forbidden me to go. I didn't want to have to disobey you. I'm at Qumran, the Essene settlement in the Judean wilderness. I know you'll be upset to hear this, but I plan to become an Essene. That's why I'm writing. I want to explain. Father, you know how troubled I've been over what has become of our religion and our country. The temple's corrupt, and no one cares that the priesthood has been bought and the true priests thrown out. Our leaders favor all things Greek, and the fact that they've invited the pagan Romans into our land to protect them is beyond belief. Father, my blood boils when I think of it. I didn't know what to do. Then I found the answer by chance. One day, when I was very troubled, I found myself in the Essene section of Jerusalem near the Essene Gate. An older man smiled at me. No doubt he could see I needed someone to talk to. He was seated by a fruit stall, and he held out some dates. "Sit," he beckoned. "Eat." I visited Samuel many times. Of course, I talked about my beliefs and my bitterness. He, too, spoke of his anger over the corruption in the temple. Eventually, Samuel told me that he was an Essene, and he explained how being an Essene gave him a way to live in this world. Then he told me about a group of Essenes who were different than the rest. They called themselves Yachad, the community. They live a holy life in the wilderness in order to create a new Judaism, a pure religion that will pave the way for a new Jerusalem. These are the Essenes at Qumran. I could hardly breathe when he told me this. I knew immediately that I had to join the sect. And so I have arrived at Qumran. God has brought me here. God has guided me through the wilderness and led me to the Essenes. I arrived at night and was led to a tent at the outskirts of the settlement. I was told that the guardian would interview me the next day. In the morning, I had time to look around before the meeting. Qumran is perched high up on a cliff overlooking the Dead Sea. You can see for miles, although there isn't really much to see. The settlement consists of a huge tower and several buildings. We're in the middle of a desert, but cisterns are everywhere. I thought that strange until I found out why. But more of that later. The men sleep in tents and caves. There is also a nearby cemetery. After morning prayers, the men streamed out in all directions. I soon learned that they were heading to the date palm trees at Infeshka, the fields where they raise barley or the hills to tend sheep. There may be as many as 200 men living here. No women. The sect survives by taking in children, young boys like me, and older men who have tired of the world. Everywhere I turned, I saw busy craftsmen, weavers, potters, leather tanners, but the most amazing of all were the scribes. In one room, I found several scribes carefully copying text. I asked a bald-headed scribe what he was copying. "It's Isaiah," he replied, and then proudly displayed the work so I could see. I told him it was beautiful and commented on the number of scrolls in the room, for scrolls rested on tables all over the workshop. At that, all the scribes laughed. So did the old man. At first, I was embarrassed. I wondered whether they were making fun of me. But then the old scribe smiled at me kindly, "The way you do, Father," and said, "Come with me." He led me to a room off the workshop. It was like a holy dream. Scrolls filled the entire room. It looked like a sea of scrolls. "We have hundreds," he said, as he gently ran his hand over one on the table in front of him. "Hundreds and hundreds. I myself do not even know how many we have. Study is very important to us. If you enter the company of the community, you must swear an oath to carefully preserve the books of the sect." He shook his head and waved his hand over the scrolls. "It's a good life," he said. I felt a little frightened when I finally met the guardian. His hair and beard are entirely white, and I think it was this and his grave expression that made him seem a little ominous. But I carried a letter from Samuel, and when I showed it to him, I could see his eyes begin to soften. We talked of my background, and he seemed impressed with how much I knew about the Essenes. He told me I could stay at the settlement on probation for 2 years. After 1 year, I must take a test on my understanding and observance of the laws. If I pass, I can continue working and studying here. At the end of 2 years, if the priests and the multitude of men judge that I am fit to be part of the covenant, I will be able to join the company of the community. Father, here is a remarkable thing. Once you become an Essene, you give all your worldly goods to the group. One man takes care of all of the settlement's finances. The Essenes share everything equally. There are no rich here, no poor, no one buys or sells anything within the community. They eat, pray, study, and live in common. Let me tell you of the strangest moment of my first day. At the fifth hour, I left our sheep and returned to Qumran. Men were hurrying back from all directions. One of my new tent mates, Benjamin, who has become my friend, pulled me aside and told me to watch. As the men returned from work, they removed their dusty work clothes and changed into white linen loincloths. Then they formed a line and walked down stone steps into one of the cisterns where they completely immersed themselves. When they finished, they walked up the same steps but on the other side, the side of the pure. Then they dried themselves and changed into clean white tunics. My new friend Benjamin told me that 10 of the 16 cisterns in the settlement are used for immersion, which the Essenes consider an act of purification. It's so central to their beliefs that they do it every day. Benjamin says that a man must truly repent before he is allowed to enter the water. After the men changed, they went to eat the communal meal. That's the most important ritual in Qumran. No one speaks when he enters, Benjamin told me. The men file in and sit in order of seniority. Priests first, then elders, then each according to his rank. I found out that the guardian determines rank by judging each man's spirituality. He watches how the men follow the laws and how they treat their fellow men and how well they study. Every year, men are moved up or down according to their actions. After the men are seated, the head priest says a prayer and the meal is served, bread, one course, and wine. The brothers eat in silence. They say another prayer after the meal, then they change and return to work. As you can see, how a person acts is very important in Qumran. The Essenes have so many rules. I learned two on the first day by breaking them. Why do I think that doesn't surprise you? I might not have been punished since I was so new, but Benjamin was the only one to see. My first mistake happened as we stood watching the men immerse themselves. A wind suddenly blew up and dust got into my mouth and nose. I sneezed and then spit. You should have seen Benjamin's face. His eyes darted all around to see if anyone was watching. You're lucky, he said, when he saw that we hadn't been observed. One of our rules here is that you can't spit in company or to the right. If you do, you must do penance for 30 days. My second mistake happened after we returned to our tent at the end of the day. It was still very hot. So we sat on the ground outside the tent and talked. Everyone was doing the same. I wanted to tell Benjamin how angry I was with Joseph, the head shepherd. It seemed that because I was new, he was making me do his work. I said, "I'm so mad at Joseph," but Benjamin cut me off with a quick wave of his hand. Then he leaned close. "Be careful about complaining. If you complain about someone without reason, you'll be punished. And don't ever murmur against the community or its beliefs. You'll be expelled forever." The Essenes have rules for everything, Father. We are not to speak in anger or with envy. We must not insult a companion, and we must care for those in need. I must swear to practice piety toward God, hate the unjust, and fight the battle of the just. Like the spitting, they have rules to guide us in little things. For instance, we can't interrupt someone when he's speaking. That's a rule our neighbor Nathan should live by, not to mention my little sister. Following these rules teaches us how to live a holy life. And that's what this community is about. Holiness. True holiness. The Essenes are following the prophet Isaiah, who said, "Prepare in the wilderness the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a path for our God." We are preparing for the coming of the Messiah. What could be more important? The teacher of righteousness, the holy man who started this movement, prophesied that the epoch of wickedness is upon us, and that soon a great and devastating war will occur between the sons of light and the sons of darkness. This war will last 40 years, but we will prevail because God is on our side. The men talked of the coming war last night. Oh, Father, how glorious it will be. Our banners will read, "The people of God, the justice of God, the glory of God." Our weapons will speak of God's strength, His wrath, and His judgment. Picture a battle line of 1,000 men wearing tunics embroidered with blue, purple, and scarlet thread. They hold bronze shields burnished like mirrors. All are pure and holy, for no impure man may go down to battle. They stand ready, waiting for a trumpet to sound, and then they will rush into battle, and with the help of angels, be victorious. I have one last thing to tell you. The hardest thing. The Essenes here don't marry. If I'm able to become an Essene, I will not produce a grandchild for you. I'm sure that Aaron will give you an heir and that Rachel will produce a flock of curly-haired children. But it saddens me that I will never be a father and do for my child what you have done for me. I'm so torn. I miss our family terribly. I miss Mother and her cooking, especially her fresh bread. Rachel's complaints and her curls, wrestling with Aaron. And Father, I miss you so. Our walks, our talks, the times you would teach me, the way you would put a hand on my shoulder and search my face to see if I really understood what you had told me. I'm searching your face now to see if you understand. I am not rejecting you. God has brought me here. I am beginning to feel as if this is my home. I am beginning to feel as if this is my life. I am beginning to feel like an Essene. All my love, David.
I hope you enjoyed listening. This story is distributed under a Creative Commons license, which requires attribution for all reproduction and prohibits commercial use. Find out more about me at my website, sidlieberman.com. That's SYDLIEBERMAN.com.